Hello friends, welcome to VSchool once again. We are on chapter 15. We are going to cover the foreign exchange products. And why do we require foreign exchange products? You are all aware the foreign exchange market is very volatile. And after the floating rate system, the rate getting fixed on the demand and supply, there is a huge uncertainty as to what rate would be tomorrow or in the future. And this uncertainty and volatility has posed serious problems for the users of the foreign exchange. More specifically, the importers, the exporters, and even the banks. And each one of them want to protect themselves at the same time, make some profit out of it. And for this purpose, they have designed various types of foreign exchange products, some of which we are going to study in this chapter. So the learning objectives of this chapter is to explain the different types of foreign exchange products. The main reason for the movement in exchange rates is speculation, or you can say one of the main reasons. Exchange rates are extremely volatile. And when I say speculation is one of the main reason, what statistics say is less than 5% of the foreign exchange transactions are trade related and over 95% are speculative, which itself establishes the fact that the rate movement is largely due to speculation. And the floating rate system has added fuel to the fire of volatility. The floating rate system has created uncertainties, especially amongst the corporates that trade internationally and have inflows and outflows in various currencies. The floating rate system is actually due to the demand and supply, and based on the large number of demand and supply, based on the big window of 24 hours for trading across the globe, a lot of uncertainty and volatility has been created in the foreign exchange rates. Now let's look at some of the causes that has increased the volatility. The number one cause is the international trade has grown because of the globalization. Anyone can do business anywhere, and when you do business with other countries, there is a need to pay in foreign currency, and this growth of international trade has given rise to the number of players involved, the transactions involved. So the transactions can be a small size, big size, doesn't matter, but when it comes to payment in an international currency, the obvious impact is on the rate. Additionally, many countries have removed the controls both on the capital and current account, and this creates a free flow of transactions in foreign exchange, free flow of foreign currency from any part of the world to these countries which are not regulated or least regulated. In case of India, we have already seen we are 100% current account convertible, but not so in case of the capital account. And that's the reason India could withstand the financial crisis that we saw in the Southeast Asia in the 90s. Furthermore, interest rate movements have been erratic. This has resulted in increasing the volatility. When we say interest rates, this can go up and down, and based on it, the foreign exchange rates can go up and down. And because of this up and down, the volatility has increased, and hence corporates, traders, and other players in the foreign exchange market need to protect themselves as well as try to earn some profit from the foreign exchange transactions. And having understood this background, now we can come out with a better cause for the need of foreign exchange products. The corporates, traders, and other players wanted to protect themselves against this big volatility. At the same time, they wanted to carry on their business effectively, get their business projections right, have their plans implemented within the correct timelines, and the only way they could do is by creating new foreign exchange products. And this need has translated into several foreign exchange products known as derivatives, whose main reason for existence is to manage risk. So let's see which innovative products have been created to manage risk in this highly volatile foreign exchange market. The first product, foreign exchange product, we are going to discuss is the debt to equity swap. What is a debt to equity swap? A debt to equity swap came into being as a consequence of financial downturns. And when we say financial downturns, we have seen the financial downturns happening in the 1990s. The Wall Street banks had to face serious financial downturns due to the finances going bad, that finances given to the Latin American countries. Similarly, in 1997, the Asian Tigers, Malaysia and other countries had to go various crises, and because of which there was a serious impact on the loans financed by the banks, and this sort of downturns created the need of debt to equity swap. These are the sale of debt in one currency for another currency. In an effort to restructure the portfolio and to improve the balance sheets by getting rid of the bad loans, some organization introduced this innovative financial product. And when we say improvisation of balance sheet, it simply means selling of bad debts. It is better to get something rather than writing off for nothing. And with this back concept in the background, a debt to equity swap took birth. In this, there are three parties involved: the seller, buyer, and the government. And we will see it with an example in the next slide. It's a win-win-win for all the three parties, whether it's a bank, whether it's a actual buyer, or whether it is the government or any other third party involved in it. So let's see with some examples. Before that, we will have to see the background in which this product was introduced. Now, we saw because of the financial downturns, banks were facing with serious bad debts, and they had to actually neutralize these bad debts so that they could get a healthy balance sheet. And to do this, they were willing to sell these bad debts at a discount. The sale of debt would help the banks to clear off the bad loans, improve the balance sheets, and come out with good performance. It will also reduce the provisioning that used to be made for the NPAs, or would have to be made for the NPAs. It will also provide the liquid cash which they can lend more, earn profit more, and that's how it could improve and boost their performance. Businessmen who were potential investors in various development projects were happy to take this bad debts at a discount, and they could exchange it for currency which otherwise they would have purchased it directly at the prevailing exchange rate. So businessmen or investors who had potential interest either in investing in a country where of currency of which they want to buy would definitely exchange this bad debts belong to that country for the currency they want for either investment or development of the economy in that country. So these businessmen could get the local currencies of these countries and use it for investment or deploy for the growth of the economy. So having understood this background, let us understand this with a beautiful example. For this, we have three parties over here. Party number one is the bank, who had a bad debt, and this bad debt has happened because of a borrower, which is a country, that is Brazil. And there is an investor who is named Rosario, who wants to invest. He wants to get some currency of Brazil, but if he actually goes to Brazil, he will have to pay the rate for which he wants to buy the currency. However, if he actually buys a bad debt at a discount, the actual outgo of amount for buying the currency, which is equivalent to the bad debt which he would get it from the government who actually has created that debt would be beneficial. So let us note down these simple examples. Bank of Kunur has a bad debt from due from Brazil, and the amount is $1 million. The bank is willing to sell the debt at a discount of 25%, which means 1 lakh or $1 million debt is going to be set off against 75,000 or 7,50,000 US dollars. Now, Rosario, a businessman, wants to invest in Brazil. So the Bank of Kunur approaches Rosario. Rosario takes over the debt by subrogation and pays Bank of Kunur 75,000. So 7,50,000 US dollars. So the bank is very happy for getting the liquid amount, that is US dollar 7,50,000, and willing to forego the remaining amount, and happy to give over the debt to the Rosario, who in turn will get full US dollar 1 million Brazilian currency equivalent, and he would actually save on the discount amount which he have got. In return, Rosario will receive 1 million US dollars in equivalent cruzeiros, that is the Brazilian currency, and Brazilian government would be more than happy to do, because it will have to pay off in the local currency, and the money is not going to go out, it is going to stay in the country as an investment or would be deployed for some development purpose. So now here, what is the advantage for the selling bank? The selling bank, which is Bank of Kunur, recovers bad debt at a simple cost of 25% discount it has given, and it gets a liquid cash in the form of US dollars 7,50,000. If the bank had not done the swap, then it would probably have to write off and would have to lose out on the entire US dollar 1 million. As opposed to holding an asset which is worth US dollar 1 million only on paper, and then providing a suitable reserve for bad debt which might increase as the debt starts aging, the bank receives immediately an hard cash amounting to US dollar 7,50,000. By selling these debts, bank reduces its portfolio of non-performing assets. The same amount it can lend, and it can earn revenue out of it, and not only project a healthy balance sheet, but it can increase its profitability, dramatically improve the balance sheet and profitability. This is a twin benefit of clearing of this or swapping of this bad debt, even at a discount. Now, what is the benefit for the buying counterparty? The buying counterparty has a tremendous gain. What is the gain? The discount which he gets from the bank. The buyer gets Brazilian cruzeiros equivalent to US dollar 1 million from the Brazilian government in exchange for the US dollar 7,50,000 that he has paid to the bank. So he clearly saves on US dollars 2,50,000, which otherwise he would have paid for buying the entire US dollar 1 million from the Brazilian government. So this actually is a big benefit, big savings in terms of the discount he has got and the lesser amount of dollars he has to pay for getting the entire Brazilian currency. If the buyer were to purchase US dollar 1 million of cruzeiros per investment at the official rate, then he would have to pay US dollar 1 for every 50 cruzeiros he purchases. However, by doing a debt to equity swap, buyer still gets the amount he wants from the Brazilian government, but for a payment of just US dollars 7,50,000, a lesser amount than the normal card rate what should have been paid. And therefore the effective dollar cruzeiro exchange rate works out to be very lesser than what is offered for the public. What is the gain for the Brazilian government? The Brazilian government has a very, very important gain. Number one gain is it extinguishes its foreign debt with the local currency. No doubt there would be an increase of local currency, but it would be tackled with another advantage of the money staying within the economy, the money used for boosting the economy, the money used for employment generation, and consequently multiplier effect on demand and supply. And that is way the Brazilian government could benefit, even though on books it is shown as it has paid off the debt to the bank. So what does this indicate? It's a win-win-win situation for the buyer, the seller, as well as the Brazilian government, that is the borrower. However, there are certain limitations to the debt to equity swap. And what are these limitations? We have seen here, there has to be an investor who should be willing to buy such bad debt. There has to be a bank who should be willing to sell the bad debt at a discount. And there has to be a borrower who should be ready for such swap. For any country, there are inherent limitations to the quantum of money that can be exchanged in this fashion. They would not easily pump in the extra money in the economy, for it may give rise to inflation. Domestic money supply in the country would increase the amount of swap with consequent economic implications, such as increase in inflation levels, and can have serious impact on the economy. However, there can be certain governments would be willing to do so for understanding the overall benefits. There may not be too many businessmen, investors who are willing to invest in these countries given their poor economic conditions, and there may not be many banks who would be willing to sell their debts at a deep discount. However, if there is an existence of such willing banks, willing businessmen, investors, and willing borrowers, then this instrument, this product could be a win-win-win situation for all the three parties. So having seen about this beautiful foreign exchange product, now let us move to another foreign exchange product, which is a forward rate agreement. Forward rate agreements, what is it? Banks and companies protect themselves from the adverse interest movements through the forward rate agreements. And how do they protect? They simply lock in the rate. And once the rate is locked, they don't have to worry about the volatility, about the movement of exchange rate in the future. Basically, forward rate agreements are agreements between two parties. One of them is a borrower, another is typically a bank, wherein they agree to deal for a deposit or a loan in an agreed amount for a specific contract period and an agreed contract rate. So FRAs deals only with interest rates, and there is no commitment or obligation by any of the parties to make a loan or a deposit. So whatever the contract is based on the interest rates. The contract amount is only a notional amount to be used for calculation of the interest. The agreement will specify that the difference between the agreed LIBOR rate and the actual rate that may be ruling on the specified date will be good by one party to the other. We are going to understand this FRA with an example. Let's see how does a FRA work. At the start of the contract period, a settlement rate based on the current rate will be decided upon between the two parties. The notional lender will pay the notional borrower the settlement amount, which is the difference between the initial contract rate and the settlement rate. Now what happens in this process? The lender locks in an interest rate and achieves a return that he has aimed for. The borrower, on the other hand, protects himself against the higher interest rate and gets compensated to pay higher interest through the settlement amount. So if the rate increases above the locked in rate, the borrower is protected. The borrower won't have to pay, the bank will actually pay. However, if the interest rate declines, and the roles of the lender and the borrowers are reversed. Let's understand this with an example. Let us assume that the aggregate 6 months London interbank offer rate, that is LIBOR, under an FR is 8% per annum on a given future date. So the actual rate happens is say 9%, but what is the contracted rate? 8%. So in this situation, what will happen? The bank will have to reimburse to the buyer the difference of 1% because the actual rate is higher than the contract rate. On the other hand, if the LIBOR is 7%, then the buyer of the FRA would have to pay the bank the difference because the contracted rate is actually higher than the LIBOR. So LIBOR was the base rate. So whenever there is an increase, the buyer gets protected, the bank actually pays it. When in case the actual LIBOR is lesser than the contracted rate, then the buyer of the FRA would have to pay to the bank, and thus the bank gets compensated. So this is how an FRA works, into which both the parties are defended to some extent against the risk of the erratic movements of the interest rates. So what are the main characteristics of an FRA? FRA can be for any amount. It doesn't matter. What matters is the rate of interest. The contract date is generally for up to 2 years, and the FRAs can cover the precise periods. FRAs gives the opportunity to hedge the interest rate exposure without actual borrowing the lending. So both the bank and the borrower can do the hedging for protecting themselves against the interest rates. And remember, these are the contingent liabilities. This is not happening. This is based on the increase or decrease of the interest rates, and hence these are called as the contingent liabilities. And FRAs deal with only the interest rate movements. So this product is specifically made for interest rate movements. Many banks offers deposits and borrowers FRAs to hedge the asset liability mismatch. Let us assume that a Bank of Bombay guarantees 6 months LIBOR 3 months in future to say Jaswant Chokshi. The bank can hedge the FRA by borrowing 9 months money and placing it for 3 months. The mismatch gives the FRA a hedge, as any payment or receipt arising from the FRA would be compensated by the interest rate that will be released when the initial 3 months deposit in the market is rolled over for a further 6 months. So this is the way banks can offer depositors and borrowers FRAs to hedge the asset liability mismatches. Now we come to an interesting concept into this financial foreign exchange product, which is the caps and collars. Let us understand what exactly is a cap and what is a collar. It's another product that major international banks are offering as a hedge or insurance cover against the fluctuations in the LIBOR. The borrower has the possibility of fixing a ceiling on the possible LIBOR over the period of loan, and this is what is called capping or ceiling the LIBOR. The borrower decides the maximum LIBOR that is willing to pay for the loan, and hence he saves himself from the erratic rise. And the borrower enters into a contract with the bank under which the bank charges a fee which the borrower is willing to pay for hedging such risk and guarantees the maximum LIBOR to the client. So the bank doesn't actually loses, because in turn he gets the fees, and the bank is aware about he also doing a similar thing for hedging the liability that he is taking over. So what is the impact of a cap? If the actual LIBOR exceeds the guaranteed LIBOR, then the guaranteeing bank will pay the difference between the agreed and the actual LIBOR to the borrower. Thus, the borrower caps the LIBOR rate over the period of the loan, and hence this is known as a cap. Bank gets some commission or the fees for arranging such cap. The fee or the premium that the bank charges for this purpose would primarily depend upon the period of the loan, the volatility of rates, and the levels of the cap. And bank has its own way of squaring off this risk by hedging the risk. The higher the cap, the lower will be the fee charge, since the risk that a bank will be taking will be much less. The fee will be much higher if the cap is lower. The longer the period of the contract, the higher will be the fee, and vice versa. The borrower also has an option to reduce the fee charged by the banks by agreeing to a floor level of the LIBOR. So this is how we come to our next important concept called the collar. When the contract specifies both a cap and a floor, then such a contract is called a collar or a band. So these are the concepts which one has to keep in mind, but there can be different strategies used by the actual borrower or the bank for ensuring that they protect themselves from the movement of the exchange rates. At the same time, they get some profit out of the foreign exchange transactions. So friends, with this we have reached the conclusion of this chapter. Over time, foreign exchange products have been developed to manage risk and for speculation. They will be developed in the future also because of the creativity of the players in the foreign exchange market. Some of this which we discussed in this chapter are the debt to equity swaps, the forward rate agreements, as well as the caps and collars. The debt to equity swap are the sale of debt in one currency for another currency. The FRAs are agreements between two parties wherein they lock in the interest rates, and the caps and collars are similar, which gives the borrower a possibility of fixing the LIBOR rate, and this provides a hedge against the fluctuation in the LIBOR. So with this, we complete this important chapter on foreign exchange products. Thank you very much.